Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlean and today we'll be studying Perek Ayin Beis 72 of Tehillim, the last mizmor of Sefer Sheni, which we'll be learning together, which is actually the last song that David has composed and shared with us. As we jump to the very last pasuk of this Perek, Kalu Tfilos David Ben Yishai. The tfilos, the prayers of David, the son of Yishai, have ended. Yes, of course, there are three more books of Tehillim after this one, but says Radak, and as we have mentioned before, the prakim are not arranged in chronological order. Radak maintains that in order for Tehillim to end on a high, the mizmorim that contain, quote-unquote, just Hashem's praises were placed at the very end of the book. As we learn this perek, we also keep in mind the words of the Gemara in Psachim, Kalu Tfilos David Ben Yishai, that even though, as we have seen, there are composers of other songs of Tehillim, such as B'nai Korach, Asaf, and others, David organized them, he collated them, and may have even put his imprint on them by changing them somewhat, so that they would be relatable to everybody, not just the composers of those other songs in Tehillim. So, the entire Sefer Tehillim is indeed associated with David HaMelech. So what is David's last song? David had the opportunity to see his son Shlomo crowned as king at the very end of his life. He named Shlomo as his successor right before he died. And as we know, David HaMelech, the beginning of his life, had so much turmoil. And then at the end of his life, he also had to deal with a tremendous amount of challenge. So finally now, Shlomo is named as king during his lifetime, finally putting to rest the doubts that many may have had about the union of David and Bathsheba, because Shlomo, of course, is the son from that union. David declares in the beginning of Melachim Aleph, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Nasan Hayom Yoshev Al Kisei Ve'enai Ra'os. Blessed is Hashem who gave me the opportunity to see my son sitting on the throne. My eyes have seen this. So this song, Perek Ayin Beis, is a tzava. It's a last will and testament for Shlomo from David, a directive on how he should rule, what should his priorities be, and how should his melucha, which is a representative of the Jewish nation and Hashem, how should it be run? And it is also a tefillah to Hashem that all of David's hopes for Mamleches Beis David be realized. So, Pasuk Aleph l'Shlomo, Elokim mishpatecha l'melech tein, v'tzidkascha l'ben melech. Hashem, please give to the king your judgments and your righteousness to the son of the king. And according to most Mefarshim, this mizmor is not just about Shlomo HaMelech's reign, but about the Melech HaMashiach. As we know, Shlomo attained a lot of the utopian society that David had hoped and prayed for. He was so close to achieving perfection that would, the same type of perfection that would happen in the time of Mashiach. It didn't last, unfortunately, but he certainly mimicked what will be at the time of Mashiach. Therefore, the words apply equally to both time periods, to Shlomo's and the time of Mashiach. Pasuk Beis Tu Yadin Amcha B'Tzedek V'Aniyecha B'Mishpat. Shlomo's reign should be stamped with righteousness and justice. As David hands over the Melucha to Shlomo, his primary focus is justice. And what is the first consideration of this future world power? David is concerned with the less fortunate. As we have seen so many times before, Va'aniyecha b'mishpat. Make sure the indigent are judged fairly and not taken advantage of by those that may wield more power and money. Recall that one of the many lofty characteristics with which David is described is Vayihi David osem mishpat utzadaka l'chol amo. This was his trademark. He was a just and fair king. In the next pasuk, in pasuk gimel, there is so much imagery. Pasuk gimel, Yesu harim shalom la'am, gva'os bitzdaga. The very mountains and hills themselves will proclaim peace. When we look towards the hills and valleys of Jerusalem, the seat of government, we should associate it with a just society. Ah, there's the Hare Yehuda. There is a just and fair society. Or as the Sfarno suggests, the mountains and the hills may be referring to government officials and the wives of those officials, interestingly, that are appointed by the king. They should be of good character. They should not be full of corruption and they should not exploit the people. Or says Rashi and Radak, when there is harmony in society and peace amongst people, there will be no jealousy and squabbles or litigation. This is my land. You stole my produce. You stole my business. Everyone will be at peace with what he has. Yisu harim shalom la'am gva'os bitztaka. The hills and the mountains will be full of peace and harmony, where nobody will be fighting with each other. Furthermore, expands the Radak, justice itself will facilitate increased produce and abundance. The land itself is impacted by the moral fabric of the people who reside there. If you follow the Torah, if you abide by the laws of the Torah, and you live as a righteous community, as a moral community, this will reflect in the actual produce. We say this every day in Shema. V'haya im shamoa tishma'u el mitzvosai. What's going to happen if you listen to my Torah? V'nasati matar tzachem bi'ito. That you will have the rain in its time. V'asafta deganecha v'siroshcha v'yitzarecha. And you'll be able to gather in your produce. The moral fabric of society is reflected in the abundance of the land. And when there is an abundant food supply, says the Radak, everyone is calmer. People regard each other with an ayin tova. And indeed, this is the condition that will happen in the time of Mashiach. In Zechariah, it states, by Yom Hahu, Na'um Hashem Tzavakos, Tikra'u Ish L'Re'ehu, El Tachas Gefen Ve'El Tachas Te'ena. When each person will call out to his friend and invite him to sit in the shade of his grapevine and fig tree at the time of Mashiach. David's focus on maintaining the dignity and fairness, particularly to the poor of our society, is stressed again in Pasuk Dalet. And in Pasuk Hey 5, David continues that if there is a just society, this will lead to harmony amongst men, which leads to Yiras Shamayim. So let there be harmony amongst man, so that Yira'ucha im shamesh v'lefnei yareach dar dorim. People will fear you, Hashem, at sunrise and sunset before the moon appears from generation to generation. And in the next few psukim, we have beautiful metaphoric language about the hopes that David has for Shlomo's time as well as for the time of Mashiach. Pasuk Vav, Yered kematar al geiz, kirivivim zarzif aretz. Let him descend like rain upon the cut grass, like showers that water the land. A leader that is a representative of Hashem and the Torah will descend equally, as it were, to both the masses and the commoner alike, says Rav Hirsch. Yered kematar al geiz. He will be the source of inspiration, a source of growth and development, both in the physical and spiritual realm. And his influence will be felt like rain on the fields, on the cut grass. Yered kematar al geiz, that word geiz, like gozeiz, cutting. On those that have been hurt, those that have suffered loss, those that have been victims, and all of Klal Yisrael who are cut off from its source in Golos. Shlomo HaMelech, and in the future, Mashiach should be able to impact everyone from society to facilitate a sense of harmony and well-being, both in body and mind. And the metaphor of the life-sustaining rain and dew continues in the next pasuk, when David prays that the righteous will blossom. Pasuk Zayin, Yifrach B'yamav Tzadik, V'rov Shalom, Ad b'liyareach. In the time of Shlomo or Mashiach, let the righteous prosper and let there be much peace forever. The moon being a sign of nitzchias, of something that's everlasting. There are lots of symbolisms to this, but not for now. Pasuk Ches, V'yerd miyam ad yam uminahar ad afse aretz. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. These are the extended boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and this scenario was realized in the time of Shlomo and will be realized in the time of Mashiach. Psukim Tes Yud and Yud Aleph speak of all of the nations paying tribute to the king. They will all recognize and revere him, wanting to be associated with him, not because they are intimidated by him, but because they will be impressed by him. Pasuk Tes Lefanav Yichru'u Tziyim, V'oivav Afar Yilachechu. Then Tziyim, the nobles, will bow down to him, and his would-be enemies will now lick the dust and have no choice but to make peace. And in Pasuk Yod, we have examples of the international regard that was going to reach far and wide. Malchei Tarshish ve'iyim mincha yashivu. Malchei Sheva u'Sava eshkar yakrivu. People from Tarshish, a nation known for being a major seaport, they were major seafaring people. People would come from far and wide to bring gifts and tributes to the king. Recall in Perek Mem Ches, we mentioned the boats of Tarshish who would arrive to Jerusalem, Anios Tarshish. So here, all the nations should come and pay tribute, those from Tarshish and those from Sheva. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yishtachavu lo kol melachim kol goyim ya'avduhu. Every king and every nation will come and bow down to him, and they will serve him. And this condition was realized in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when people far and near would come to marvel at Shlomo's peaceful and prosperous kingdom. Of course, there's the famous story with Malka Shva. This nation is mentioned here. And as we know, Shlomo had many wives from many nations. And the prevailing understanding is that this was his attempt at world peace. It was his form of a United Nations. In Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud, the Navi describes the incredible riches that Shlomo had. Lots of gold that the fleets of boats from Tarshish would bring to the kingdom. And why is this important? Because a strong nation with the right values has the potential to bring peace. If we look back at Pasuk Yud for a moment, Malchei Tarshish ve'iyim mincha yashivu, the kings of Tarshish and the surrounding islands will bring tribute. The word that is used is yashivu versus viavi'u. They will seem to be returning versus bringing. Yashivu, says Radak and Ibn Ezra, it means that they will return year after year to give those gifts. But there's another explanation that is provided by the Medrash, and it relates to the phenomenon of the Jew in Gullus that we know all too well. That we have had to give bribes and gifts and money just to stay alive. And the first one to do this was Yaakov Avinu. Says the Medrash, Kol osan hadoronos, shenasan Avinu Yaakov le'esav, asidin umos ha'olam lahachziran le'melech ha'mashiach la'asid lavo. All the gifts that Yaakov Avinu gave to Esav in order to appease him and ward off his murderous attempts, they will all be returned in the time of Mashiach by the nations of the world. As it is written, Malchei Tarshish ve'iyim mincha yashivu. The kings of Tarshish and the islands will return, will give gifts. Yaviu ein k'siv kan ela yashivu. It's not written they will bring, but it's written they will return those gifts. As we know, throughout the generations, we have had to pay with blood money just to exist. We know that people have paid exorbitant sums to try to bribe officials during the Holocaust. There were organizations in America that raised funds for this, and only a fraction of European Jewry was saved. We know the high price we need to pay when we exchange hundreds of terrorists for one life, or we need to give up land in order for the enemy just to stop terrorizing us. We have always had to pay a price just to exist. Now David is saying in the time of Mashiach, all that money, the first instance of this was Yaakov having to give money to Esav to stop terrorizing him. Now David is saying, Malchei Tarshish ve'iyim mincha yashivu. All that money, says the Medrash, will be returned. Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet. Incredibly, in the next three psukim, David again prays that in the time of Mashiach, or in the time of his son's reign, that people will respect him, not because he rules with an iron fist, but because he rules with justice and takes up the causes of the poor. Ki atzil evyon mishaveya v'ani v'ein ozer lo, yachos al dal v'evyon v'nafshos evyonim yoshia, mitoch u'michamas yig'al nafsham v'yekar damam be'enav. It is the cause of the less fortunate in society that David is so consumed with. Tesvav and Tezayin again speak of the abundance that David hopes for in his son's reign and for the time of Mashiach. The second half of Tezayin, V'yatzitzu me'ir ke'esav ha'aretz, this city, and we know, of course, which city we are referring to Jerusalem, to Yerushalayim, the city will blossom like grass of the fields. It will be teeming with people as they will flourish in the city. The Medrash tells us that the name of this holy city is a composite of two words, Yeru and Shalem, Yerushalayim. Yeru is the name that is associated with Avraham Avinu. After he did the Akedah on Har HaMoriah, he proclaimed, Hashem Yireh, Asher Yeimar Hayom, Bahar Hashem Yireh. Hashem will see and he will be seen on this mountain. Avraham Avinu represented Beit Adam Lamakom as he spread monotheism to the world. And the second part of the word is Shalem, peace, which is associated with Malkitzedek, the king of Shalem, Malkitzedek Melech Shalem, as it says in Bereishis, the son of Noach, say Chazal, whose time on the Teva caring for animals sensitized him to focus on caring for another creature, which translated into Ben Adam Lachavero, Shalem, peace. Hashem blended these two words together to create the title for this holy city, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, blending the two aspects, our relationship with Hashem, Bein Adam LaMakom, and our relationship with each other, Bein Adam LaChavero. Yerushalayim is the connection between heaven and earth. As we say later in Tehillim, Ke'ir Shechubra Lo Yachdav, it is a ear that binds everybody together, and it is a city that combines heaven and earth. We continue with Pasuk Yud Zayin in our parak. Yehi Shemo Le'olam Lifnei Shemesh, Yonun Shemo V'yisparchu Bo Kol Goyim Ya'ashruhu. A pasuk declaring that the dynasty should last forever and that many should bless themselves by his name and the nations should praise the Melech HaMashiach and Shlomo. And Yud Ches and Yud Tes are words that are very familiar since they are said at the closing of Psukei Dezimra. Baruch Hashem Elokim Elokei Yisrael Osei Nifla'os Levado. Hashem does wonders. And he continues, Baruch Shem Kavodo Le'olam V'yimalei Kavodo Es Kol Ha'aretz Amen V'amen. May Hashem's glorious name be blessed forever and may the entire land be filled with his glory. And the final pasuk of this and of the second book of Tehillim, Kalu Tfilos David Ben Yishai. The prayers of David have ended. Note, it does not say songs, Kalu Zmiros David Ben Yishai, but it says Tfilos, the prayers. Because the songs that David HaMelech has given us, as we know, are really Tfilos. David, who is described in Shmuel Beis as the Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael, as the sweet singer of Israel, and who is described as having Yefei Einayim, beautiful eyes, those eyes were able to peer into the souls of all mankind and compose the sweet songs that consistently resonate the tone and passions of the people that sing those songs. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmos, Helen Moskovitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II She'eris HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day, sponsored by their grandchildren Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.